was. Thank you very much. Hello. Okay. It's quite a hard-hitting passage, this one, isn't it? I was really looking forward to speaking from this. But we've been set up this morning with that sense of God being here and us being quite little and God being quite big and totally in charge. I think that's where I want to go with this morning, to lead us back to that place of worship. So the passage starts with what we're like, what we can be like, what our raging selfish nature battles in us against our new life in Christ. I've got some things here that I often hear in my house. Is there anyone who's under the age of about 11 who wants to come and read some of them out? Anyone to come read for me? No, I'll do it myself then. I love saying these things. I've got a lot of children in my house, as you may know. And these are some of the things that I hear. That's mine. I want it. You can't have it. He pulled my hair. She punched me. That's so unfair. Make her give it up. Give it back to me. Shut up. And worse, as you can imagine. And this picture you get in this passage from James is like a parent picking them both up and saying, what are you doing? You are arguing, you are fighting, you're looking to try and kill each other. What are you doing? And then he draws us back in saying, actually, if we look to God, we can make this right. Well, that's a good noise. I do wonder, actually, if James could see into my sitting room, because that is what it's like such a lot. And fighting with siblings is pretty normal behaviour. You may or may not know that the author of this book had a really famous big brother. His big brother was, in fact, Jesus. And how many times would Mary have had to bite her tongue and go, why can't you be more like Jesus? But it would have not been kind, would it? She was probably a much nicer mother than I ever will be. And rightly so. There are a few activities, if you'd like to do a bit of interactive while you're listening this morning. There is a cross like this to do a bit of colouring in. And there, if you like doing that kind of thing. And there's a plain cross that Ruth is holding up. There we are. My idea this morning would be that we'll have an Argos catalogue. Now, I know as a child, this was just like statutory reading from about September to Christmas Eve. Put it on the back of your cross. Where's that coming from? Everything that you might like out of the Argos catalogue, if you could fit it on one page. But then turning it over when it's all glued on and cutting out your cross, and you can end up with something like this, submitting ourselves to God. So those are a few activities. If you're happy playing Lego, play Lego, that's also cool. Or listen, that might be amazing too. I think James is also speaking to grown-ups here as well, isn't he? He's like, because we love to be first and be noticed and have cool stuff. Oh, I like to have cool stuff. And sometimes when I don't want to have cool stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, well, I'm totally over all that. And actually, I'm a bit proud of the fact that I don't go with all the latest gadgets. And judgy attitudes, I sometimes find, are a bit of a problem in my life. And being in the world is one of those things that God has called us to. And sometimes it does feel like it could be better just to put ourselves in a little holy huddle so we could really worship God. Then we wouldn't have to think about any of that other stuff. James describes it as friendship with the world. I think if you read the passage carefully, he's talking more about a real close friendship. In the next sentence, he talks about us being adulterous, like not loving God enough, but being drawn away by the attractions of everything else, and it is so easy to do. Let me tell you a story about the true life I live. This is Tuesday evening this week. So at 7:30 on Tuesday evening, there was a commissioning service for the new vicar at All Saints Church. And I really wanted to be there. And I think, you know, I'm part of the church here, and they're really important to us, All Saints. They give us loads of money and they bless us. And so I really wanted to be there. So that's very, very important to me. I have lots of stuff to get through in the evening. It's going quite well. I've cooked a bolognese. I've put it in the oven. I've taken child one to her violin lesson. I've brought her back. I'm serving out the dinner. There's the TV on. And I think that's probably where the wheels started to come off the wagon. I don't want to come to the table and eat my dinner. Please, can I eat it in front of the television? And foolishly, I said, okay. So child number four is in front of the TV with his dinner and his drink. And child number five is dancing in front of the television. So child number four gets very cross. And he said, I'm going to eat my dinner. And he pulls the coffee table towards him, upon which is a hot bowl of spaghetti bolognese and a glass of drink. And throws the bolognese on himself and the sofa and my new carpet, smashes the glass. And it's like, and I'm beginning, you know, you can feel it when these things start to happen. It's building, isn't it? It's building. Like, I've got to be out the door at 6:30. Steve is nowhere to be seen. Steve is the husband, the father. And I said to him slightly too late in the day, I'd quite like to be out the door at 6:30 tonight. He's like, why didn't you tell me earlier? I'd have gone to work earlier. Yeah, but that would have meant I'd have to take the kids to school and I'd lose an hour of my day. Anyway, so I'm like, thankfully child isn't burnt from the dinner. My dinner is still intact. Eat that food because that is dinner. So of course I've forfeited my dinner and I'm getting a bit hungry. Can I find a dustpan and brush in my house? I cannot. After 15 minutes of searching for a dustpan and brush, going, don't step over there, with broken glass. And I have to knock on the neighbour's door to go and get the dustpan and brush from her garage that she graciously lends me. She's a very lovely woman. Tidy that up. And then I'm just thinking, oh, I'm a bit peckish. I'll be all right. Grab a banana. I walk into the boy's bedroom, which I had tidied to the nth degree because child number three couldn't find his glasses all summer holidays. I found them. And I realised in my enthusiasm for tidying, I'd stripped the beds. And it's like, oh, they've got a set of bunk beds in there. So I've got to make the bunk beds. So I've the dinner situation, okay, I think there are people in my dining room eating dinner. And I'm like, oh, I've got to make the beds. I hate making bunk beds. I always hit my head and it makes me very cross. And then the child number five, who stopped dancing, he's gone, Mummy, I've done a... Really? I said, go and stand in the bathroom. Because I'm like, oh yeah, there's sheets and I'm on a bunk bed and I'm just beginning to really, really lose the plot. Just at that moment, the front door opens and in comes Steve. Thank you, Lord. And I don't even have time to give him much information, like, bathroom. And of course, Sid has wandered out of the bathroom. Another child has nipped in there, probably to run a bath. She'll be like an hour and a half. And so that all the stuff to deal with that kind of thing is in that bathroom. And I just left. And it's really hard, isn't it? In the thick of it, there is barely time to say a tiny, tiny help prayer. There's no time to think, what would the Lord do in this situation? Because I'm in the thick of dealing with lots of people who are hungry, they're a bit tired, and they're just being kids. It's really tough. And I know that all of us have moments like that where it gets too much. And it is very easy to go, in my words, into sweary mummy mode. So how do we stop ourselves from becoming that person we don't really want to be? No one likes it. No one likes listening to it. And you feel hideous afterwards. I think the answer is here in James, where it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And that daily coming into God's presence. Not to roll off a great big list of things, but just being. Just stopping and being with God. And Martin Luther put it like this. The busier I am, I've got so much on today, I'm going to have to spend 3 hours in prayer. Now, I am yet to reach that kind of level of holiness. But if we are too busy to pray, we are ridiculously too busy. We must find time, whether it's early in the morning, whether it's our lunch break, whether it's last thing at night, to stop and say, okay, God, I'm going to draw near. And he promises to draw near to us. And that prayer where we come to a loving Father God who goes, do you know what, it's okay. I've totally got this covered. God has always got it covered, even when it seems to be spiralling out of control. Stephen Croft puts it like this, you know, Bishop of Oxford. He says, it is in prayer that we find stillness in the midst of a storm. Time for the waves to subside, perspective on the day that has passed and the day that is to come, and the strength to put on again the Christian virtues of faith, hope and love. It is in prayer that we discern God's hand, find joy afresh, reset our inner compass to true north. Prayer is that vital pause at the beginning and the end of the day, the quiet time which makes all the difference in the world to the way the day is lived. Why would I be missing that bit of my day out? There are a few... I'm almost done. I've got a few books on the table there. If I move, I'll probably go inside. It is hard, I think, sometimes to know where to begin. Some of us are really good at being still. I am less good at it. And this is just a small selection of books from my library that I have previously used. And they sit on my bedside table, or sometimes they sit by the kettle. And that moment it takes to boil a kettle, I can actually do a little bit of listening to God. James promises, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you want to have a little flick through those, and you can borrow one if you want to, that would be fine. I was going to say don't borrow that one because I'm halfway through reading it, but to be honest, it's fine for it. I think that prayer is so important. I'm really pleased that Rosie is going for this prayer thing on a weekday evening. Even if you go once and think, oh, I've learnt a different way to engage with God, it will be totally worth it, won't it? And the other thing that I find really helpful is the wonderful song by Aretha Franklin. Do you want to play it for me, Stephen? And while we, I know it's not strictly about God, but let's listen to the voice. This is Aretha Franklin. Who knows that you can pray while you're putting on your makeup, while you're choosing your dress, while you're riding the bus. And as we listen to that, I know music is a very difficult thing, but listen to that, have a think about what it is that we need to submit to God, whether it's our temper, whether it's desiring stuff, and allowing ourselves to be re-centred on him. Thank you very much. Might be some music.
Thank you, Claire.